Recovery Radio, KMP3, 1000 Oaks.
Yes. You are listening to the Recovery Radio podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I will be your host. You can email me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail. You can follow me on Instagram at sarcastic.aa.book. Check out my website, recoveryradiokmp3.com. And to get the books, go to sarcasticbigbook.com or just go to Amazon. And as always, I'm so glad you're here with me. I don't know if your day's just getting started. Maybe it's just winding down. Maybe it's somewhere right in the middle. But here we are. You and me. And I am glad for that. I'm so grateful I have no desire to drink today. I'm not tricked by the time. My sobriety. Not even a little bit. Page 84 from the book Alcoholics Anonymous on the bottom. By the time we are on step 10, and we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally. We will find this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We haven't even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. If cease fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. Page 57. Last sentence in the first paragraph. Seemingly he could not drink, even if he would. God had restored his sanity. Back to page 85, though. It's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve. Contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line. All we wish, it's the proper use of the will. So I am grateful. I have no desire to drink today. I have a daily reprieve. It's contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, and that's it. So today I don't feel cocky about it. I don't feel afraid of it. I'm not putting mental effort into avoiding alcohol. I'm not thinking about it. Today, I feel like I've been placed in a position of neutrality. But I know from my past experience, if I mess around the principles of Alcoholics Anonymous, the desire to drink can and will return. The insanity of alcohol will return. No doubt about it. So I'm grateful for that. I have to tell you, I'm in a really good mood today. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm capable of today. So just try and, I don't know, be prepared, I guess. I'm like crazy. Just kidding. I'm like, some of you may think that my ability to be hysterical is constant, but it's actually not. All right. On a serious note, I'm going to read now from page 46 and 47 in the book Alcoholics Anonymous and talk about that. Bottom of page 46. I'm just going to read a little more than halfway through that paragraph. I'm going to start there. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding. To those who earnestly seek, it is open, we believe, to all men, to everyone. When, therefore, we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies, too, to other spiritual expressions, which you will find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to affect our first conscious relation with God as we understood him. In other words, I just had to be open-minded. Afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of reach. That was growth, but if we wished to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, no matter how limited it was. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there's a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him he's on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. I love that because it's so simple. It is saying, and my lived experience is in alignment with this, that as soon as you say, maybe there is a higher power, that right there is enough to affect a conscious relation with that power. Just that. In the fellowship, it's very common that we ask much, 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 much more from newcomers concerning God and their beliefs than what I just read. I know a lot of people who feel like they have to understand God before they get to step three. That they have to be able to define a higher power, and otherwise they're in trouble. And I just think the simplicity of that is so beautiful. And it helped me I don't know if I would have stayed sober had my sponsor required a lot more from me. I was going to drink. And I was very impatient. I was very undisciplined when I got sober. I had stopped trying in life years earlier. I wasn't trying to be a good person. I wasn't trying to learn anything. I wasn't trying to better myself in any way. I did not believe in God. The people who were religious abused or annoyed me, or both. And all I had to do was say to myself, maybe there is. And that was enough to get me going. That was enough. That was enough. I didn't think about it too much. I didn't analyze it. I didn't spend a lot of time on it. And I've come to see that the book doesn't ask me to spend a lot of time on that either. We Agnostics is written for people who might have obstacles here. Maybe they had a, you know, traumatizing experience or set of them growing up concerning God or the idea of God or religion or whatever. And or maybe they were, you know, just like I was, just huge atheists or agnostics, and they just were closed off to the notion of there being a God. But there's nothing in the chapter that says that anything more than what I just read is required of me. And I mean, it's so simple. I just, anytime I can talk about these things in a more simple way, I feel like I'm doing something that's valuable, because none of this is fussy. None of what's in the book, I should say, is like fussy. It's just not. It's so simple. And I was just open to there being a higher power. I was open to there being a God. Did I believe in God? No, I did not. Could I define God? I can't define God now. My idea of God has expanded so much. But that's the result of an inner experience coming as a byproduct of applying principles. It was a real revelation to me, though, I remember. That when I felt and experienced when I adopted the belief that God was interested in me, available to me, and present in this moment, That was a huge turning point in my life. That happened when I was on the train. I've talked about the train. I took the train to make amends to my mom when I was newly sober and ended up playing guitar on the train, found a guitar, found a conductor who had a guitar, and I was so powerful. I had been prepared by my sponsor to, you know, conduct myself in a certain way if I happened to meet anybody on this trip that I thought was maybe in Alcoholics Anonymous without offending them. Ask them if they're a friend of Bill W. And I ended up sitting next to this guy waiting to borrow his guitar, and he had stickers on his guitar that said "Keep Coming Back" or "One Day at a Time," or and we ended up having such an incredible experience. And that was the first time I thought that God was right here, available to me in this moment, and that I never really knew why I was going anywhere. I thought I was going on that trip to make amends and that's it, but I really started to learn then, and have learned since then, that you really never know why you're going somewhere. But God will let you know. If I'm present, if I'm seeking God and I'm out of self to some degree, that I'm present, God will let me know. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. It's so beautiful. So, I don't know. I guess that's it. I guess that's it. Just always nice for me to be reminded of the simplicity of all of this. I don't have to grapple with God, wrestle with God, and the door into that realm is not a doggy door that's like tiny, you have to crawl through it. It's broad and roomy. You walk right in. I want to give a shout out to Mallory, to Wes, to Ross, to Dr. Wu. To the Elvis Chapel. To Stephanie. To Katie, to Richard. Special shout out to Chelsea and to Dave. And if anybody needs to hear it, everything is okay. I also want to say get well to Teets. All right. I'm going to go. I am going to go. I have a photo shoot. It's by a campfire. It's for tea. And it's actually for honey. And I'm by a campfire drinking tea. And I'm trying to put honey in the tea, but I spill it on myself. And the advertisement line says, "Whoops," with a question mark. Bye. I'm leaving. I don't know why my life was saved, but I am going to go try to live a life that was worth